Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. John Andrews is the managing editor of the South Dakota Magazine, and he'd never been to a horse race before the magazine's publisher gave him $100 of betting money and sent him to the racetrack at the Brown County Fairgrounds in Aberdeen last spring. He shares his experiences learning about the state's horse racing culture and how to bet on the horses in the magazine's latest issue. He joins us in our Vermilion studio. And John, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Hi, thanks, Carl.
And with us on the line is Heather Benson. She was one of John's guides into the world of horse racing. She's been a handicapper and is the owner of Back 40 Media and Marketing, a Centerville-based consulting firm that assists horse racing industry clients. And Heather, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you for having me.
Well, John, I'll start with you. How much did you know about horse racing before your visit to the track in Aberdeen last spring?
Well, as the story makes abundantly clear, absolutely nothing, because I had never gotten into that culture at all. I mean, you don't hear too much about it in other parts of the state. I grew up in Lake Norton, which is, you know, just south of Watertown, not too far from Aberdeen, just a couple of hours. But, you know, still growing up there, you don't hear much about it. You don't hear much about it down here. But really in Fort Pierre and in Aberdeen, especially here in April and May when the races are gone, it's a pretty big deal, and it's a whole lot of fun to go watch.
So what was it like for you when you went to the track in Aberdeen last spring, not knowing anything about this, not having been there before?
Mm-hmm. Well, I should preface it by saying that I did a little bit of research before I went. I found online, just so I wouldn't look like too much of an idiot, I found a little booklet online from the Quarter Horse, American Quarter Horse Association, that told me how to bet on horses. And so they gave me all these different combinations and different things that I could do, and it still was completely sailing right over my head. But luckily, when I got there, I found a very sympathetic person at the betting window when I first approached it, because I pretty much handed her my money and said I wanted this on this certain horse to win, please. And she said, well, you know, you can do this, and you can do this combination, and you know, sure you don't want to do something else? And I sort of just stared at her blankly for a few seconds and said, no, just to win, please. And then I just sort of walked away and kind of thought about what she said. And luckily, we had there's before the races, they have a little betting seminar where guys will go through the programs, and they'll go through each race, and they'll tell you who you think is, or who they think is going to perform well in each race, and they give you little tips on what to do and how to do it. So by the end of the day, I was feeling a little bit better.
Yeah, the thing about betting, it's not, you don't just bet on one horse. You know, you can win, place, or show. There's mm-hmm. what the trifecta, the perfecta, the quinella, all these different things, and they all, you know, there's different ways you can bet on the horses.
Yeah, exactly. And that was something that was totally new to me when I went there. You know, I'd heard obviously of win, place, and show, but just because you watch the Kentucky Derby on TV and you hear that every year, then of course you're familiar with it somewhat. But yeah, there's all these different combinations, and you know, as I went on and I learned a little bit more about how it worked, I sort of got into doing that a little bit more, playing different combinations on two horses, three horses at a time, and so things were shaping up really well by the time the day was over and it was time to go home.
well, Heather Benson, for you, how do you like to introduce people to this world of horse racing?
Well, honestly, I always recommend to go there to have fun first. Anyone who has a game plan of getting rich on horse racing, as John can probably tell you, it's a difficult feat at best. And at the end of the day, if all you do is pick a color you like and pick the jockey who wears those silks, it's an awful lot of fun just cheering your favorite home. And I tell people, don't look at the numbers. Don't get too worried when you first get started. Just have fun. Pick a number. Pick a color of horse. Pick the horse that's the prettiest and looks at you nice when he's trotting around the track, and cheer him on, because that's the basis of horse racing, is looking at the person next to you and going, I think my horse is faster than yours. Want to bet? And if you do something as simple as that, as spend a quarter with a neighbor, you'll get hooked pretty fast, because it's an awful lot of fun.
Now, John writes in his article that horse racing can't simply be a hobby. Once it's in your blood, you live it every hour of every day. Is that true for you, Heather?
Absolutely. I got hooked when I was 8 years old during the 1989 Preakness Stakes, which is the second jewel of the Triple Crown, and I saw two horses named Sunday Silence and Easy Goer battle all the way down the length of a stretch, and determination, the excitement that goes with watching horses do that had me hooked. And as a horse lover, it was a pretty easy transition to become a racing lover. And then the more you learn about the sport, and especially here in South Dakota, where people are not in this sport for the money. The people who get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to feed horses and go to bed at 8 o'clock at night after they treat them after a race, they don't do it for the money. They do it because they love it. And once you're in, it's really, really hard not to fall in love.
So that's what you think, Heather, makes horse racing maybe different from other places in the country, that that it's not about the money, it's just about the love of racing, the love of horses, just the love of being around all this?
Absolutely. A good example is we all hear about the Kentucky Derby and the big money that surrounds that, the million-dollar horses that go into that race. And just to enter the Kentucky Derby, just to pay entry fees, is going to probably cost you over $20,000 just to get into the gate. And that's just an entry fee, not to mention all the work that goes into the years of getting that horse ready. And then they run for $1 million paycheck, and when that horse wins, then he's suddenly worth, you know, $20 million. In South Dakota, I think one of our biggest purses on a thoroughbred race is a whopping $3,000, which I will bluntly tell you, and any horse owner can tell you, doesn't pay very many feed bills. So when we go out and race here, we do it because we love it. We do it because, you know, we love the people who are there. We love watching the horses run, and being outside on a spring day in Aberdeen is never a bad thing when the sun is out. And it's fun, and you don't do it because of the money. You do it because you truly enjoy what you do. And if you read John's article, you meet people who they just love what they do every day, and it makes it a pleasant experience for anyone who goes up there and joins in.
And John, for you in your experience in meeting with the people there, being at the track in Aberdeen, was that your experience? It sounds like it from reading the article that people are open, and since they love this world, they want to share it with you and with others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty easy. It's pretty obvious to see that when you go to the track. I should make it abundantly clear that I had no designs on coming home vastly richer from the racetrack. The whole idea was just to sort of use the money to sort of get involved or get immersed more into the horse racing culture. But yeah, you know, when I got there, like I said, one of the first things I did was I went to this handicapping session that they have before each race. And the guys that have running it, one is a retired math teacher, I think from Columbia. And the other guy is someone who's been around the Aberdeen racetrack, and he said, since he was 4 years old. And, you know, he's done every job he can do at the racetrack on weekends just because he loves being there. And he watches, you know, he told me he watches horse racing on the internet all the time. And he's out there all the time when the races are going on in Aberdeen as well. So, I mean, it's easy to see it in the people who work there. It's easy to see it in the people who come and watch and really get involved. And I mean, it's like they have everything in their lives invested in all these races, with the excitement that they show when the races are going on. And it's easy to see it in the trainers, especially in Bob Johnson, who I mentioned in the story. And I'm sure Heather will agree with this, but Bob's one of those people who gets up at 4 in the morning, and you know, he's at it all day long. In fact, the night before the races here in Aberdeen, he had brought a few horses from their stables out in Lemon out to Canterbury Park in Minneapolis, and then had gotten into Aberdeen at about 2 in the morning the day of the race, and then turned around and had a few horses running that day. So I mean, it's something that you have to, you know, you live it and you breathe it. And he told me he's been on his place in Lemon for what, 15 or 20 years, and I think he told me he's mowed his lawn maybe 4 times because he's on the road with horses all the time. So,
well, Heather Benson, you've been a handicapper, as I understand it. What, maybe you can tell us a little bit about what a handicapper is and what they do.
Well, handicapping is merely a fancy term for using a lot of great information that's available out there to pick a winner. And I will go on the record as saying I am never going to be the person you see in Las Vegas that there's a national handicapping contest. But it's simply, and John can talk to you about this, you go to the track, there's a lot of statistics that go into picking out horses. They come from every corner of the horse world. And you read through those, understand them, make an educated guess, and then roll your dice with a little bit of luck and hope you pick the winners. Just like he was talking about, some of the guys in Aberdeen, I watch horse racing online all the time, and once you get excited about it, it is an awful lot of fun, and you can bet for as little as 10 cents just to have a horse to cheer on when you watch him run down the stretch. But I'm the kind of person who can just enjoy watching him run down the stretch and cheering just to cheer.
And John Andrews, you have your racing form from last year.
Yeah, last year. I hung on to the program from last year's races, and you can see they do 10 races every afternoon when they're staging these things, and you can see they've got probably right around 8 entries in each race. And you know, this is what I was confronted with when I showed up and I bought this program and I looked through it and
it's small print.
Yeah, yeah. All it looks like is this jumble of letters and numbers and things that you.
It's like looking at the stock market.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a ticker. You have no idea what you're looking at. But when you sit down with the guys who actually can understand it, you know, they'll go through and tell you it really is a snapshot of the horse's racing history over the past. And I don't know how far back it goes. Maybe a year and a half. But you know, it'll show you how they finished, who, what jockey was riding them, how they performed, and little parenthetical references. You know, there's a couple here that say good effort or late gain or no excuse for the horse that finished last. So, so yeah, I mean, once you figure out what it all means, then you get a much clearer picture of what you're betting on, I guess.
And Heather Benson, from your experiences, you talked about how, when you first got involved and interested in horse racing. How long did it take you before you felt like, yeah, you knew what was going on, and you can look at one of these racing forms and know exactly what it all means?
Well, I'll go ahead and say that I was a racing nerd, and I think I got to go to my first live horse race probably when I was 11 or 12, and for me, in knowing the basics of horse racing, the jockey names, and the different points on the track, it wasn't too hard to pick up. And like John said, if you talk to someone who knows what they're looking at, it's really just learning what some of the cues are there and then picking your method. My husband, for example, I was the person who introduced him to horse racing, and he picked it up quick and has his own method, and to be really honest, often does quite better than I do at the track, because he doesn't get distracted by whether or not the horse is pretty or not.
So it helps to just be sort of take a sort of a clinical approach, not fall in love with the horse.
Absolutely. a lot of professional handicappers, because there are people in the world who, just like professional poker players, make their entire living in the millions of dollars off betting on horse racing. They often do not watch the races prior to making their bet at all. They don't want to see the horses. They want it to be as statistical and as black and white as possible. And they obviously do better than the average populace, because they keep it very much on the numbers. They have their losses, but obviously over the course of time, they also have enough wins to make it worthwhile for them.
You're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We're talking with John Andrews, managing editor of South Dakota Magazine. He's the author of the cover story in the latest issue of the magazine about horse racing in the state. Also with us on the line is Heather Benson, who is one of John's guides into the world of horse racing, and she's the owner of Back 40 Media and Marketing, a Centerville-based consulting firm that assists horse racing industry clients. And Heather, you've owned horses, as I understand it, including one that played Secretariat in the Disney movie.
That's right. He was actually born and bred here in South Dakota, out in Newell at Horse Creek Thoroughbreds. And he was actually in training to become a racehorse. And we knew pretty quick that his registered name was Cyclone Larry. We called him Larry. He wasn't exactly the world's greatest speedster, but lucky for him, he looked an awful lot like the Triple Crown winner Secretariat. And right about the time we decided he needed a new career, they did a casting call, and we had to send in a headshot just like you do for a Hollywood actor. And sure enough, they picked him up, and off he went to the movie set for several months.
So he wasn't a racer, but he was an actor.
Yeah, he couldn't do it in real life, but he could play the part if you let him.
Well, John, the history of horse racing in South Dakota, is this something that goes back a ways?
Yeah, you know, we've had a lot of nationally known men and women involved in horse racing that have come from South Dakota. You know, it goes back quite a ways. They've been racing for decades out in Fort Pierre and also in Aberdeen. One of the one of the guys I mentioned in the story, and we actually did a feature on him a number of years ago, is Earl Sand. Is it Earl Sand or Sandy? Earl Sand from
Sandy
from Groton, who rode Gallant Fox to the Triple Crown back in 1930. And of course, we have other guys I mentioned in the story, Steve Osmussen from Gettysburg, and Bill Mott of Mobridge, have had long and successful careers in horse racing nationally. Of course, they got their starts here in South Dakota. Heather, I'm guessing there are more that I didn't include in the story, though, right?
There's a very good jockey who rides on the East Coast nowadays, Travis Dunkelberger, who's originally from Lenox, South Dakota. He's, I think, been the leading rider several times over at some of the biggest tracks on the East Coast. And an update to your story is actually Steve Asmussen was actually nominated to the Horse Racing Hall of Fame just last week. We'll find out. It runs a lot like the Baseball Hall of Fame, where they nominate them and only a few make it out of the group that get nominated each year. But it's a huge honor that we're about to have two trainers at a very young age, relatively, that are going to be in the Horse Racing Hall of Fame. And he actually has a horse on this year's Kentucky Derby trail that looks awfully good and just might make it across the line first on the first Saturday in May.
Heather, do you find that there's always a new generation of horse racing fans?
Well, you'll see if you go to the track, and the Johnson family is a great example. The Bubby Haar family up in Aberdeen is another good one. It tends to be a family affair. Steve Asmussen's actually a great example. His dad was in racing in the Dakotas forever. He's obviously become a great trainer. His brother was a jockey for many years. You'll see generations, just like you see ranching families or farming families, there's horse racing families. And the horse racing industry has been trying to do a lot of work. You can watch horse racing online, of bringing in the younger generation. But the horse racing's biggest struggle, it used to be the only game in town as far as wanting to put a $2 bet down, and it now faces quite a bit of competition from casinos and other venues. At one point, I know, just in my lifetime, we used to have the Central States Fair Track in Rapid City, and prior to that, there was Park Jefferson down by North Sioux City. But the South Dakota races at Fort Pierre and Aberdeen seem to be going strong. They attract still pretty good crowds and a lot of people who are still buying horses and trying their luck out.
Well, it seems like, if you're going to bet, it'd be more fun to bet on horses, be outside in the South Dakota spring than to be in some dark, noisy casino.
Absolutely. You can't, if you're looking for a great day out, and I always tell people, it's gambling, it's not a family affair, but if you get a little kid watching the horses and all the colorful jockey silks going across the finish line, it's a pretty fun day for everyone. I haven't found many people who don't spend an afternoon outside at the races having a beer or having a soda and just cheering on the horse at the track. I'm a baseball fan, but it's a lot more fun than even baseball.
Well, for you, John, plans on going back to time? Do you have time to go revisit the track?
Last year I went to the races in Aberdeen, of course, so I would love to take in the races in Fort Pierre just to see how it's staged out there. So, and I do have a couple of little kids who I would guess would love to watch it, like Heather said.
All right. Well, John, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
You bet. Thanks, Carl.
And Heather, thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you for having me.
Heather Benson has been a handicapper. She's owner of Back 40 Media and Marketing, a Centerville-based consulting firm that assists horse racing industry clients. John Andrews is managing editor of South Dakota Magazine. He's the author of the March-April cover story, My Day at the Track, and the 2014 South Dakota Horse Racing Association season begins next month, April 19th through the 20th, at the Stanley County Fairgrounds in Fort Pierre. Races continue there April 26th, 27th, and then May 3rd and 4th. The circuit then moves to the Brown County Fairgrounds in Aberdeen, May 10th through 11th, 17th, 18th, and the 25th and 26th.